In the gospel today, Jesus uses the word blessed 9 times. And then he adds a 10th instruction that's similar. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. So in a real sense, this is a new Decalogue. In the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, it's clear there that God himself on the mountain gave to Moses and the people his 10 words, his 10 commandments. So there in Exodus, there was God on the mountain speaking to Moses for the sake of the whole people. Today, we have the incarnate God, Jesus, on the mountain speaking to his disciples for the sake of the whole people. I was thinking of this image of him sitting down and then the disciples coming to him with excitement and expectation and joy. And I thought of the excitement and expectation and joy that children often have when they go to see Santa Claus, who sits down, welcomes them with love. Or to use a very different example, to picture the excitement and joy of this moment, think of how a young woman feels when she's with her beloved. And suddenly he goes down on one knee, produces a ring, and makes that powerful invitation. Will you say yes to be my bride? Here, the divine bridegroom goes up the mountain, sits down, calls his disciples to him, and speaks the invitation to the heavenly marriage covenant. Will you be my bride? The bride of Jesus is blessed to be poor in spirit. Will you be poor in spirit? The bride of Jesus is blessed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Will you long for righteousness? Think of sitting at the feet of Jesus, and as he speaks these words to you, you start to understand he's inviting you into his spousal friendship. And hearing these words, like that young and newly engaged couple, you thrill to realize the intimacy he's offering to you to belong in this way to him. Now, we don't have time for me to talk about all 10 invitations here, unless you just really insist. So let me speak just a little bit about just 2 of them. First, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I've always found the Beatitudes to be challenging. Beautiful, but challenging. It's hard to understand the thrill of the engagement invitation when the invitation says, I have to be prepared to mourn. And not just to be prepared to mourn, but that I'm lucky to be mourning. That the Greek word makarios, which means blessed, also includes the nuance of lucky or fortunate. How fortunate are those who mourn? It just sounds a little bit crazy. But then we have to remember the second half of the Beatitude, for they will be comforted. In this fallen, sinful world, we are indeed fortunate if we mourn because of violence and cruelty and sin and death. Because our mourning then shows that we know these things are not part of God's plan, part of this sinful, fallen world. And in that case, if we don't grieve and mourn sin, then our hearts aren't free. Then we're still slaves to sin, citizens of this world, but not of the heavenly kingdom, where there is no sin or suffering or death, and where we will be comforted. And that is what brings back the thrill of delight at his love and the invitation that he gives. To mourn is to realize all that's wrong with this world. And Jesus doesn't say that I'm responsible for all that's wrong with this world, or that I'm the one that has to make it all right. No. He just calls us to mourn as an act of faith that God will make it right. God is the one who does the comforting. Secondly, blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. The Old Testament taught that no one can see God and live. Even in the Gospel, in the different Gospel, the Gospel of John, Jesus said that no one has seen God except the only begotten Son. So if we think about that, if we want to see God, then we must become like the Son. And this is important. To see God, to think about this, to see God is not to see an object alongside of other objects. God is not one more thing in the world. He's the creator of all things in the world. He's the creator of the world. And so he's different from everything in the world. He's different from the world. And so we grow in cleanness of heart by letting go of all of our attachments to the things of this world. What gets in the way of our seeing God is all the clutter of attachments that we have. When I love someone or something more than God, I put them in the way of God. And the last attachment that we all need to let go of is the attachment to our very own life. When at last my heart has died to all attachment to self, including the attachment to my own life, then nothing will be left to block the vision of God. And what helps us bring our hearts to be like Jesus is receiving the sacraments. Certainly when we receive the sacrament of reconciliation, which cleanses our hearts, making them a little bit more like the Son, but also the sacrament of the Eucharist. Think about this, when we drink from the chalice, the blood of Christ circulates through our heart and soul, again, making us more like Him, cleansing and purifying our own heart. We're strengthened through the sacraments to let go of our attachments to lust and envy and anger and greed and pride and sloth and gluttony and every impurity of mind and heart and soul. My point in trying to give a little explanation to these two Beatitudes is to help us experience a little more fully that thrill of the newly engaged couple when we see Jesus sit down and with beauty and solemnity invite us into his own experience of the kingdom, into his own wedding feast. This is about mourning evil in the world so as to merit comforting in the next, and letting go of all attachments in this world so as to merit the vision of God in the next. That's thrilling and exciting. So here's the homework for the week. Pay attention this week to the attachments that you need to let go of and to the sins and other evils that you need to mourn. Realize how incredibly fortunate we are that Jesus speaks these 10 invitations to us.